Second hour to Aaron Donick and Chase here on this rainy Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday or overcast, depending on where you are. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's bring in the GM, Floyd Reese, brought to you by Turks and Caicos. Floyd Reese Island. No, actually, he's brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys? Staying
that
dry.
would be a great sponsorship, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, geez, would it ever? Yeah.
There has been more scoring in the league than we've ever seen through the first 2 weeks. It is at a high clip in the NFL. What do you make of that?
You know, I think first of all, oddly enough, the offenses I think are coming out maybe a little bit ahead of the defenses, which never happens. You know, it's always the opposite. And I don't know why that is, to be honest. I think on defense, the lack of tackling, I think, you know, the lack of the hitting, like we have been so physical on defense for so long, and yet, you know, I didn't get that sense through the first two games. Not that we're not physical, just not as physical as we were. And I think part of that has to do with, you know, the non-contact for so long. You know, the young quarterbacks are coming in, and I think they're lighting it up pretty well. I think the other thing, and I said this after the first weekend, I think I saw more broken coverages, you know, where a team in a game goes out and they hit two or three touchdown passes with nobody, you know, within 5 yards of them. You know, guys just completely open, running downfield. Some guy thinks they're playing cover two and they're really playing cover three. And so you've got two guys covering one and nobody covering the other. I saw more of that than I could remember. So I'm sure all of that has to do part of it.
Scoring is at an all-time high. Do you know what is at a all-time low, if I can spit it out, right now through 2 weeks in the NFL?
No.
Penalties. Especially holding penalties. What do you make of that? They're not calling holding penalties, and I'll tell you what made me jump out at that, because at first I was like, you know, we have not been giving Taylor Lewan, after he spoke yesterday, enough love, because what has he not had through the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, not a penalty,
year? Huh? He does not have a penalty yet, and then you do a little bit deeper dive and you realize, oh, and I don't want to take anything away from him.
Right, but nobody's getting any penalties.
But nobody's getting any penalties. They're not calling holding. They're not – the penalties are at an all-time low. What do you make of that? That can't be by coincidence, right? It's not like everybody's come out of this unusual offseason and no preseason and they're just squeaky clean. Clearly, that's a mandate from the league to back off. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to think it's a conscious effort to – let the games be played, you know, not because, and we said early, you know, that one of the things we'd probably see at the beginning of the season were all of these penalties.
Right.
You know, how were we going to work through the games when they're throwing 14 or 15 flags and, you know, these games are going to be 3.5 hours long and all those kinds of things. And I've seen a couple of times where officials have come out and said, you know, we're going to call the obvious calls, you know, we're not gonna, because let's face it, holding can be called on every snap. And, you know, you just throw the flag and you'd say holding on offensive line and you'd be right. But I think they're kind of stepping back from that and saying, no, if you grab the guy and he goes down, then I'm throwing it. But if it's close and maybe you've just got him hooked a little bit, and you know, where other years you might call it, I think they're kind of letting that go through, letting it play in an attempt to kind of keep the games going.
Yeah, and it may be also attributing to more scoring, right? Quarterbacks are getting a little bit more time.
Yeah,
because they're letting things go a little bit more with the offensive line. I'm going to play a game with you that I played yesterday with Tim Hasselbeck and just see where you rank the team. So I'm going to give you 4 2-0 teams, and you're going to tell me, you're going to rank them 1 through 4, best to worst in your mind of these 2-0 teams. Okay?
Okay.
Titans, Arizona, Las Vegas, and the Rams. So Tennessee, wow. Arizona, Las Vegas, and the Rams, all 2-0 teams, rank best to worst in your mind, 1 through 4.
I would put, I mean, the Titans and the Rams in my mind right now are really close.
Okay.
From a quarterback standpoint and the other things. So I would put them 1 and 1 or 2, either way. I would probably put Arizona last just because I want to see what they can do. They've played 2 good games. Quarterback has played well. I don't think there's any doubt but that, you know, Hopkins is like the signing of the year at this point in time. I mean, he's virtually helped pick that franchise up and kind of move them along. So I think I'd put them last. And then whoever that other team
was. Las Vegas, the Raiders.
Yeah, Vegas, I'd put them third. You know, I really, if it wasn't for the Saints game, and I'm still, you know, in my mind, I'm not sure if that is the Saints playing really, really poorly without Thomas, who, you know, once again looked like a different team without Thomas, or if Vegas is maybe really, really turning the corner.
That's why this game is fun to do, because Tim had Arizona 1 and you have Arizona 4.
Yeah.
That's what's
and I could see why you would. You know, you're looking at Arizona, I mean, they've done nothing but great things. Their quarterback even is looking more Lamar-like, if you will. You know, he's not hesitating to pull it down, and if he's 20 yards out, you know, he can scamper for 20, then I'd rather do that than risk throwing an interception or an incompletion.
Yeah. Okay, now let's do the same with the 0-2 teams, 4 teams that I've picked out. So rank what you think is the best of the 0-2 to the worst. Minnesota, the next opponent for the Titans, Philadelphia, Houston, or Atlanta. Those 4 0-2 teams.
I don't like Philadelphia at all.
Mm.
I don't, you know, I have never been a great Wentz fan for whatever reason. I wish I knew. But I just don't see them finding a way to kind of, you know, it's not like they're going to get a player back and that player coming back is going to change the momentum of the team. So I would probably put them last. You know, Houston is really not playing very well. That being said, they're playing probably the toughest schedule in the league because I think they have like Pittsburgh or somebody like that this week.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, you look at them and you think, well, I mean, all those 2-0 teams we just named could easily be sitting there at 0-2, just like Houston. But I would probably put Houston at 3. Who were the other two teams?
Minnesota and Atlanta.
You know, I think I would have to go with Atlanta and then Minnesota.
Oh, so you would have Atlanta 1. He had Atlanta high. I think he had Minnesota, Atlanta. You have Atlanta, Minnesota as 1-2. That's interesting.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's, you know, Atlanta has always had a ton of firepower. And they just haven't, you know, having a defensive coach as a head coach, they've just never quite turned the corner as a defensive team. And to be honest with you, Minnesota has maybe played the worst of all of them. You know, they've just from a pure playing standpoint, but you know that team is better than that. You know Cook is better than that. You know Cousins is better than that. You know Thielman's better than that. And so you look at that and you say, okay, they should be playing better.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, and we do every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Floyd, give us your GMI evaluation of Jacksonville's talent. They had so many guys that were making plays on Sunday, and I was like, I've never heard of these guys. But they got it done. Now, I'm asking myself, is this the Titans just breaking down, or are some of these young guys pretty good pieces for Jacksonville?
You know, I mean, it's probably a combination. I think they did a great job of taking what we were giving them. I think the most important thing of that game was that the Titans were patient. And by that, I mean, you know, I'm not – if we would have gone out there – I mean, everybody wants to talk about Tannehill and how he played, and Tannehill played great. Don't get me wrong. But, he was 18 for 24 for 240 yards, four touchdowns, which is outstanding. But on a normal Sunday, you know, if and I've said this forever, you know, if our quarterback can go 18 to 24 for 240 yards and get a couple of touchdowns and no turnovers, we're probably going to win with our running game and the way we were playing defense. So he played well, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he picked up the team, went out, and threw for 350 yards and six touchdowns. I think we got into a little bit of the Kansas City syndrome. And by that, I mean we weren't able to get pass rush. So if you're not able to play pass rush, now you've got to try to play coverage. Well, you've got two rookies in there playing. They're not playing very well. So you really can't play coverage. So what are you trying to do? You say, well, I'll blitz. Well, if you blitz, now you're playing man-for-man with those rookie corners. Now what are you going to do? You know, is that the answer? You say, oh, no, I better not do that. What are you going to do? Let's just be patient. Let's force them to go the distance. Let's force them to take all of these little dinky-dunky, you know, completions. Maybe one bounces off somebody's hands and we intercept it, like is what happened, or maybe we tip one and intercept it, which is what happened. So I think they had to be very, very patient. I have to, you know, probably congratulate them on being that patient, because had they tried anything else, I'm not sure we would have had the same outcome.
So now let's look ahead to this week, where you have more of a veteran offense. You have a veteran quarterback. And, of course, you take away Stephon Diggs. They've struggled some, but I'm sure, based on what you just said, there's some things that Minnesota likes about playing a team that doesn't have a ferocious pass rush on paper and some inexperience in the secondary. Also, you've got a desperate team in the Vikings. This seems to be a tricky game because it's easy to say, well, the Vikings are 0-2, but this one looks like it's going to be a tough one.
And I think you use the right word, and tricky. You know, I think it's going to be, they are desperate. You know, 0-2 is bad. 0-3, that may be catastrophic. And so they're saying, okay, now we can't go 0-3. We got to find a way to win this game. And I'm sure they're thinking we're going to have to do some of the things that we can do. We're going to have to take advantage of, you know, this young secondary. If they can't get pass rush, then our quarterbacks are going to have enough time to throw the ball because Minnesota's offensive line is young and, you know, they're trying to kind of feel their way. Devin Cook hasn't quite been what we've seen with that offensive line. He's kind of feeling his way. You know, if we get caught in the same situation we were last week where we have no pass rush, and I'm hoping against hope, that some of these other outside linebackers can come in and play so that Landry and Clowney don't have to play 90% of the snaps because, you know, they play about 15% of the snaps. They're worn out. So any pass rush that you maybe hoped to get, you're not going to get because they're pooped. And, you know, what are you going to do? Well, we'll substitute for them. Well, you don't have another guy. You know, you got Correa. He can substitute one of them, but you can't get them both. So hopefully we can go into the game with four or maybe even five outside linebackers. So if nothing else, we can put a fresh player in there. I mean, I am convinced, and I've never seen the guy hasn't played a snap in a Titan helmet, but I'm convinced a fresh Beasley can give you more of a pass rush than Clowney after playing 10 consecutive plays. And I think that hopefully being able to rotate those guys and do some different things with those guys, that you will get the pass rush. And now maybe things will start falling into place.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, the former Titans GM. Hear him today, 2-6 with Jared Stillman on Jared and the GM. So you led me into my question because I was going to bring up the pass rush and how much of a difference Beasley could make. When I have watched Clowney, Floyd, the first couple of weeks, my non-football scouting eyes say he's probably a half step off, and that's just where he is in his conditioning and getting into football shape. Am I close? Do you see that? Do you think he's close to getting to the quarterback, or is it still a little further? He has further to go.
No, I mean, It was funny because Steve Watterson, I heard somebody talking to him yesterday, who was the former strength coach with the Titans. And Steve said to get into for real football shape, it takes 6 or 8 weeks. So it's going to take all of those guys a little bit of time. But I know this. If he is, in fact, a half a step away, which he very well could be, if he was fresh, maybe he picks up that half step. If he's able to, you know, rush better from a different spot, maybe he picks up that half step. And that's why, I mean, I know, in my opinion, rushing a quarterback is the hardest thing to do in the NFL. And when you've got guys that are playing 90% of the snaps this early in the season, and let's keep in mind, our defense has not been, you know, 1-2-3 punt. It's been 1-2-3, oh, here we go again. 1-2-3, oh, no, here we go again. 1-2. So they've been on the field, you know, 10, 12, 14 snaps. Well, at the end of that, you are just dog tired. And it's right. Not you're not in great shape to begin with. It takes you a minute to recover from all that.
Now, on the other side, how would you evaluate the run game? And I don't just mean Henry. I mean from the handoff to Henry to the run protection on the offensive line. But overall, how would you evaluate it through two games?
You know, I think we are we're not seeing what we are used to seeing from Derek, which is the spectacular 40-yard run. Other than that, I mean, I think it's been very, very solid. I think we're the number two rushing team in the league, or Derek's the number two rushing back in the league. So, you know, it's not like you've fallen off the face of the earth. We're just not seeing it the way we used to see it. And I might contend that that's the same thing that we're talking about with Clowney and with Landry, which is, you know, the young kid that's going to be his backup, maybe he'll be able to play this week for the first time. We haven't seen him. And so we're rotating whoever that substitute is, and they're saying, wait a minute now, instead of putting, you know, this guy in, we better keep Derek in because the defense could do this, or we might audible, or we might change things up and he might miss it. So I think we're seeing maybe a little bit of that. I'm not sure that I see the great second-level burst that we've seen from Derek, you know, like at the end of the last two seasons. You know, I thought there was one run last week in the first fourth quarter. I think it was maybe that 13-yard run where I saw a step or two of it, and I said, okay, there it is. But, you know, now you're in a situation where you're trying to win the game and you're probably a little bit more hyped anyway. But I'm not sure he's not going through a little bit of that same thing where, you know, you kind of wear yourself down into a routine and your mind and your heart are saying, hey, I need to get an extra half a step out here someplace. And your legs are saying, no, 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 we're going to save that for later on in the year.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese. You can hear him today at 2 o'clock, presented by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
The GM, Floyd Reese. Vic Beasley, how close is he to coming back? He's supposed to practice in full for the second straight day. We'll discuss that when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.